Andy, my dude, have you heard of the magical website builder known as Squarespace?
Ugh, not another Squarespace ad. I feel like every podcast is sponsored by them.
Hey, don't knock it until you try it. Yes, okay, it is overhyped, but actually it lives up to the hype. Squarespace is like a website fairy godmother. With a click of a button, your site transforms into a beautiful masterpiece.
A website fairy godmother? That sounds interesting. What makes it so magical?
Well, for starters, those slick templates make anyone look like a professional web designer. Pick one, customize the colors and fonts to match your brand, and voila. Plus, the drag-and-drop fluid engine is so easy, your grandma could build a site on Squarespace.
Well, she did knit me a lovely scarf last Christmas. Maybe website design is next.
Exactly. And when you're ready to sell your Nana's handmade scarves online, Squarespace has built-in e-commerce. Add a store with one click, get flexible payment options, then watch those sales roll in. And when she wants to teach others her steezy scarf skills, Squarespace's new courses feature is just the ticket. Nana can set up her curriculum and enrollments and payments in a snap and become the next e-knitting influencer.
Ugh, wow, you really sold me with the grandma angle. Sign me up for that free trial.
Just go to thenextreel.com/Squarespace and transform your site into a beautiful Squarespace masterpiece.
Well, thanks, Pete. Even though it's overhyped, Squarespace actually sounds perfect for Nana's site's needs. Appreciate the warning on the ads, though. I'll brace myself next time I listen to a podcast.
Anytime. Let me know if you need any help getting that site up and running. Andy, can you believe we've almost hit 700 episodes of The Next Reel?
I know, it's crazy. And with all the other episodes in our family of podcasts, we are well over 1,200 episodes of movie conversation. It's really pretty amazing that we've gotten to have these in-depth movie chats every week for over a decade now.
And we couldn't have done it without our loyal community of film fans. Their support over the years has meant so much.
For sure. That reminds me, we should give the merch store a shout out. Buying shirts from thenextreel.com/merch is a great way listeners can continue to support the show. Plus, they get to sport our great designs.
Absolutely. I think sometimes folks forget we have a variety of shirts, mugs, phone cases, and more available. In fact, a great place to start is with a shirt sporting the Next Reel's logo.
We also have that classic Fast Times Spicoli Surf School tee, or the weirdly popular Rusty's European Tour shirt.
The one from National Lampoon's European Vacation. Why is that so popular?
Search me, but we have sold a ridiculous number of those. I guess there are a lot of Rusty's taking trips to Europe?
We're always adding new designs based on movies we've covered, like our brand new design for A Streetcar Named Desire, featuring a streetcar named Desire. So if you want to rep your love of TNR and films, head to thenextreel.com/merch.
Every purchase helps us continue to have these weekly in-depth conversations. So visit thenextreel.com/merch today.
And as always, thanks for listening and being a part of the Next Reel community. We've got lots more great movie chats coming your way.
It's showtime, folks. Enjoy the show.
Remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. That's right, it's November 5th, 2022, and you have discovered Saturday Matinee. We're not talking about anything political this time. Instead, we're going to have some fun with movies, with news, and with each other. Joining me on this little adventure is the infamous Notorious Ray.
Hey, what? I am pretty B.I.G., so I get it.
And rounding out our trio is the ubiquitous and effervescent Chrissy Lenz.
I know what one of those words means, so and I like the one I know, so I'll assume the other one's good, too.
All right, so yeah, you were on last week, so I'm going to start with Ray. Ray, what have you been watching? What have you been seeing? What's made a big impression on you in the last couple of weeks?
Well, probably the biggest thing was seeing Halloween Ends and being like the internet's anti-bullying defense attorney, I don't know what else you would call it, guy.
So you set up your Corey fan page?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did. It was like pro scarecrow all the way.
Okay. All right. So you Were you the only voice of positivity that you found? Like, are you alone in a sea of people condemning the movie?
There's a few peppered here and there, okay. Like just enough to keep the health bar from running down to zero.
So I guess we're not getting into spoilers because I know not everybody has seen it yet, but it is a radical sort of departure, not quite as much as Halloween 3, but from sort of what we had come to expect. So what was your sort of impression of it? Like, you immediately saw it and kind of went, oh, okay, they did something different, but hey, that's cool. Or did you, you know, have that sort of response of like, wow, like, I'm so glad that they took chances.
I'll be honest, as I was watching the movie, I'm thinking to myself more and more, where are we going with this? And by the time the credits rolled, I'm like, okay, I think I get it. And I went home and watched it on Peacock the same night.
Okay.
The next day, I started reading the novelization.
Okay.
Because
don't
mess with me when it comes to horror fandom.
I was going to say, like, you say, you came with facts.
Intense.
You did your homework.
And I really appreciate where they dared to tread with this last movie. It's not everybody's cup of tea, and it's certainly not the majority's cup of tea, but I liked it.
Did you see
it? I'm so intrigued by your description that now I must watch it. I probably just watch it. I probably won't watch it, then read it. But
well, you know, you have to have no life whatsoever to do that.
Dedication. What you have is dedication, right?
Yeah.
But while I've been obsessing, what have you been watching?
There you go. Chrissy, what are you in the last?
So I watched on Halloween. We didn't go out trick or treating. Okay. We stayed in to give out candy and watched the Scream franchise.
Oh, wow.
So we got all the way up through the end of the, like, we got up to the fourth one.
Okay.
So we watched 1, 2, and 3. And I mean, I'm sure there's lots to complain about, but gosh, those movies are fun. They're just so much running around and slipping and sliding in that long robe. And I think they're all great, even the ones that aren't.
No argument here.
Yeah, I saw the first three, like when they came out, like in theaters. I don't think I've seen the fourth one, and then I saw the reboot. Was the reboot was it the requel, six or five?
With Jack Quaid?
Was it five? Okay, all right. So there's only one that I've not seen.
I have no memory of four. Yeah, like
I've never seen that one.
We watched the three. There's a four. Yeah. And the reboot was five, so I liked the reboot too. I thought it was fun.
You say Jack Quaid, and I see his face in my head, but the first name that comes to my head is Brad Boimler.
Uh huh. I was thinking the same thing too. Yeah, because of Star Trek Lower Decks. Like there's a guy who's actually been able to balance a career doing both. Like, he has a really good animation skills, and he's still doing a lot of live action stuff too. So, you know, I'd like to see it. All right, so you had a piece of news you thought would be interesting to talk about. Tell us what you discovered about a new television show that could be coming our way.
Well, I spoke about horror fandoms before. Well, Friday the 13th has not had any movies in the last decade, and that's unusual for that franchise. And it's because the rights have been tied up in all kinds of legal battles and so forth. Well, the big ones have been dealt with, and Victor Miller, the original writer of the very first Friday the 13th film, is getting to do a Friday the 13th series, which will be on Peacock and will be under the A24 banner. And the showrunner will be Brian Fuller.
Now that is exciting to me. I love Brian Fuller. Star Trek alumni, but then also Pushing Daisies and Alien. He's even one of the creators of Star Trek Discovery before he got fired.
Right. Right. And he did Hannibal as well.
He did Hannibal as well. That's right. Yeah. I couldn't get into Hannibal, but I recognized the quality of it and the fandom. It was just like, I was like, well, this isn't really for me. I'm not a big serial killer fan. So what do you, obviously there has been a Friday the 13th series before. Does anyone remember?
Which has?
Yes. Had nothing to do with Jason whatsoever.
Right.
It was, I don't remember what it was.
I looked it up too
about
because
camp.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with camp either. It was in the, I looked it up too because I'm like, I watched it, but like, what was it about? I couldn't remember. It was basically Warehouse 13 before Warehouse 13. It was, and a little needful thing. So the idea was that there was a, treasure trove of cursed artifacts, and then it was a guy inherited it and went, oh, I don't want this crap, and sold it off. Turns out they were all cursed, and so now our heroes, their job is to go out into the world, find these cursed objects, and bring them home. It was called Friday the 13th the series. What connection did it have to Jason Voorhees? Absolutely nothing. They just got the rights to use that term, and they knew they would get some attention, and that was it. Like they at one point they went for a couple seasons because, you know, back in that time you could make like 50 or 60 episodes of something before they went, nah, it's fine, as opposed to, you know, the one or two you'll get now. I remember that, and I remember there was a Nightmare on Elm Street television series too. Freddy's Nightmares.
Right.
It was like an anthology series with Robert Englund was in it and stuff too. Weird things and ways to try and keep these franchises alive.
And then are you
looking forward to this though? Do you think the Friday 13th new series is going to be good?
Yeah, but do you remember the old show that was on Cinemax late at night, Pinhead's Pleasures?
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Anyway, back to this upcoming Friday the 13th.
At some point.
I had to get my dumb joke in there because I'm dumb. Anyway, I think I'm not too wild about the idea personally because I like a standard slasher flick. Mm-hmm. You know, why expand on something so basic? But it is basic, so you can do a lot with it. There's that. I don't know.
Yeah, the Brian Fullerness is the only reason that I am interested at all. What do you think, Chrissy?
I agree. I think that he does interesting things. Like Hannibal is a known quantity, mm-hmm. and he found a way to like give it little twists and turns and surprises. So I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, are they calling it Friday? Or are they calling it Crystal Lake? Or has that not been decided?
Well, I don't think it's
okay.
It's been mentioned. It's just that it's the property Friday the 13th.
Okay.
And then because of the legal battles and because it's the guy who has the rights to the first film, which doesn't have Jason in the hockey mask and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
They were wondering, will Jason be in this series? And it appears that they have the rights to everything Jason Friday the 13th for this series. Ooh, so,
okay.
Wow.
In an article that I read.
At first, he made a joke about in the interview about Jason X. And it was like, Jason X. And then as it went along, he was sort of like, no, I'm serious. Like, I want to incorporate Jason X. I was like, oh, okay. Like, he wants to do the full spectrum of stuff from the franchise.
Space. I'm
like, okay, great.
I love Jason X.
I know. I'm interested to see if he actually is going to try and fully incorporate everything from, because, yeah, let's see, Nightmare on Elm Street, and you know, and it gets a lot of attention for this, but like the mythology of Friday the 13th is so weird. Like, it was mom, and then there was like a psychic girl, and then it was, then he was in New York, and then he was in space. Like, and then he fought Freddy. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can draw from to do there, so it'd be interesting.
Yeah, there's probably nothing where you could be like, you know what, I'd love to incorporate. Blank, and you just, oh yeah, we can get to that. Yeah. Two steps away, and we can get to that because Jason dealt with it.
What do we need? Jason's been there. So that's the far future. Let's go back to the near future and talk about trailers. Okay. All right. So Chrissy, you were the first one in there. Tell us about your trailer.
Well, if you are the exact same age as me, then you probably, in your mind, have memorized the theme song to both My Buddy and Kid Sister.
Oh.
You guys remember those?
My Buddy.
My Buddy.
My Buddy.
They were like, these toys that like were supposed to like look like you and be kind of big like you, and like it was every kid's dream. Well, clearly somebody took that idea and gave it a new twist in the upcoming Megan. We'll just say Megan.
Katie, you lost your parents.
Welcome home.
You're my niece. I'm going to do everything I can to make this place feel like home.
I just wish I could see them again.
I'm not equipped to handle this. I don't even take care of my own plants. I have this project at work. Do you want to see?
Yes.
Ever since I was little, I dreamed of this perfect toy that would protect a kid from ever feeling lonely or sad. This is Megan.
Hi, Megan. I'm Katie. It's nice to meet you, Katie. Do you want to hang out? Okay.
Megan, your goal is to protect Katie from harm, both physical and emotional.
Is that a doll?
Model 3 generative. Android. Megan, for short.
I can't believe you made this. I love it. Wanna hang out, yeah, sounds like fun. Great job.
It's nice to have a friend. It's honestly like she's part of the family now.
They could be building emotional connections that are too hard to untangle.
She's the happiest she's been since her parents died. Eat the toppings, Katie.
Research shows if you force a child to eat vegetables, they'll be less likely to choose those foods as adults.
Is that so?
Yes. Experts say...
Megan, turn off.
I thought we were having a conversation.
Does she talk? Make her say something.
Stop! Don't! Megan! You should probably run. Megan, she pushed Brandon onto the road. I won't let anything harm you.
Megan, turn off.
Recalibrating response model. Megan! What's wrong with you? Don't worry, Katie. I won't let anything harm you. Ever again.
I mean, it starts off creepy. Mm-hmm. The moment you see this doll, it's like, ah, they made Annabelle bigger. But she's like, you know, every little girl's dream until she like takes her mission to never let anyone hurt their little girl too far, it seems. Yeah. And like the dancing part where she's like in the hall, like doing TikTok dances and like flipping her whole body around. I'm already scared.
That dancing was the scariest part for me.
I agree. What did you think, Ray?
I saw this in the theater not that long ago, and
the trailer.
Yeah, the trailer.
Okay.
Not the movie. I was
like,
the trailer.
Wow. I'm like, wow, you were ahead of things.
I meant the trailer. I apologize. And it did send some chills down my spine in certain parts, but I feel like this is probably going to wind up being a middling movie for me. Chucky's my favorite doll.
I mean, I think that they took an interesting take in this Small Wonder reboot. I mean,
yeah,
man, what happened to Vicky? Shout out to all my Gen X friends out there. It's interesting. Like when you have these things that are not intended to be human, like we know she's a robot, but man, I don't know if it's intentional or not, but they hit that uncanny valley right smack dab in the middle, because just the look of that character creeps me out. I mean, I know I'm not supposed to think it's a human, but it is right at that apex of like, I don't even like looking at this thing. It's whatever hard coded in me. And yeah, you're right. The dancing thing. If this was a about movies in the future that are gonna give me anxiety, this would be on the list for later on in today's show. But it's also to go to Ray's point, it's also coming out in January, which not really the mark of confidence from Blumhouse.
But, you know, it's like everyone will have their Christmas toys that they're like just got, they've just gotten over. Like, it's like, oh, I have all these
American Girl doll sales plummet.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh, maybe they're evil.
So we'll see. Do you know what the exact date is?
I think it was January 23rd.
Okay. All right. So we'll look for that there. So, Ray, you got in there next. What is your trailer?
All right, so my trailer is for a movie called MK Ultra. And if you've never heard the term MK Ultra before, it is the name of a program designed and undertaken by the CIA back in the 60s. I think it started before the 60s. Anyway, where they experimented with regular citizens, United States citizens, with LSD and trying to condition them, brainwash them, stuff like that. And this movie tackles that subject.
Are you a member or have ties to extremist groups or organization?
No.
Do you use drugs or alcohol?
Yes.
Do you trust Agent Morton?
Are you ready to begin?
I'm gonna fund your research, Doctor.
Push the boundaries of science, the full support of the government.
It's enough to drug the whole state.
Funding. That's what you always wanted.
Yeah. Figure out what to make of him.
The CIA supported young psychiatrist experiment.
Shelley Powers, arsonist.
It's Laura.
Why were you arrested?
You think I'm sick?
Politics and science make the worst of friends.
I had some questions about where my research is being taken.
I don't like questions.
Has mind control been achieved?
What the hell do you think you're doing?
We turn our eyes away for even a moment. Filth will overcome us.
It stars our favorite new Starfleet captain, Mr. Anson Mount. I almost forgot his name.
That's who that was.
And it doesn't. When you watch the trailer, it doesn't come off to me as like terribly factual. It looks more like thriller based off of very loosely off of something that really happened. But I still find this particular thing very interesting, a very intriguing idea that regular everyday people like you and I were experimented on. And
talk about stuff that it's just the theme, things that give you anxiety, like, it looks creepy and scary, and it definitely seems like the kind of show that Dory and my husband will watch, and I'll be in the room going, it's too scary.
Yeah, right. Give me the evil robot doll. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about what our government was doing to people. Yeah, that's
right.
Interesting. Like, as I was listening to the latest episode of the Dana Gould Hour, which is he's a comedian and stuff too, but he does a little segment called True Tales from Weirdsville where he takes a little piece of history and then does kind of like a little essay about it. And he actually talked about this a little bit too. And I didn't actually realize, I had sort of heard a big story, but like, I didn't know a lot of it until he actually talked about this stuff. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize how big and how expansive. And the fact that the government was just like, well, we want to test this chemical on it. Who can we use? Oh, I know. No one cares about convicts. Let's just do it on. I mean, like, they were just basically picking actual, real, 100% American citizens that no one would pay attention to or care about and giving them drugs without their knowledge just to see what would happen, you know, and then taking notes. Ah. Of all the things we talked about, well, we just got out of the Halloween season. That's the most frightening thing of all. And It wasn't until years and years and years later where they kind of went, yeah, all right, my bad. Like, they fully admitted, like, no, we absolutely did that, but whoops-a-doodle, what are you gonna do?
Whoops-a-doodle.
So yeah, I had the same feeling as you, like, that I think this is gonna be sort of like a thriller dramatized version of it too, but it'd be interesting to see if from this we get more investigative stuff, and maybe they'll actually will be a sort of a more like a documentary kind of thing that we can see that actually will show us the facts too. But Anson Mount, he's on a hot streak right now. I like seeing Jason Patrick back again. Yay! Jason Patrick. For those of you who don't think Jason Patrick can be evil, I recommend The Losers. What a fantastic movie that is that none of people have seen. He's a really, really good bad guy in that.
I'm sorry.
No, I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Really, really good.
I'm a disappointment.
Okay, so, all right, so then the last trailer up is me. I decided to go for a... small micro-budget thing from a new filmmaker you might not have heard of. A guy named James Cameron. That's right. We're finally getting the first of four new movies. This is Avatar, The Way of Water.
Dad, I know you think I'm crazy.
I have to lie on those big rocks.
But I feel her. I hear her heartbeat. She's so close.
So what does her heartbeat sound like?
Mighty.
Cannot let you bring your war here.
Outcast. That's all they see.
I see you.
The Way of Water connects all things. Before your birth. And after your death.
This is our home!
I need you with me, and I need you to be strong.
So, yeah, coming out of Christmas, this movie that's been in development for, like, I don't know, 10 years, something like that. I mean, it's one of those things where I'm having trouble believing it's real. Like, now we're actually seeing footage, but at the same time, man, like, this was supposed to, I think, be coming out in, like, 2018 originally, and they just, like, when they first announced it, then it was three movies, then it's four, and it keeps getting further and further back, but I think it's really gonna happen now, and I don't know, like, Avatar came out, yeah, I think I was working at the movie theater when it came out, and it was a big deal, and everybody saw it, and we all celebrated and loved it, became the number one film, and then it went away, and I think everybody kind of forgot about it, except for James Cameron, and so now they're coming back again with this big thing, and I don't know, I think it's going to be a lot harder sell than he thinks it is. Because that first trailer came out, and I showed it to my teenage daughter, and she had never seen Avatar in her lifetime, there has never been anything Avatar. Like, the only Avatar she knows is the Airbender. So to like show this and have her go, but what is this? Like, why? Because I mean, it's, unlike Star Wars and Star Trek that has sort of permeated the culture. Avatar hasn't really. It sort of sailed through like a comet. It just sort of went by and then moved on. Now it's a major film franchise. I don't know. At the same time, I never doubt James Cameron, because James Cameron has yet to make a bad movie. So I don't know. There's a lot going on here. What did you guys think of the trailer?
I don't like to yuck anybody's yum. Mm-hmm. So if someone out there is yumming up on Avatar. I don't want to yuck it too much, but I don't, it's not, it's probably not for me.
Okay.
I'm like, you're not going
to give 3.5 hours of Christmas time to James Cameron?
I'm not, no. And like, ordinarily, like, I'll see any movie because I love just the experience of it, but I'll probably like take a pass on all 28 of the new Avatar movies that are coming out.
What do you think, Ray? What's your experience with Avatar as you're a little bit younger than us?
Well, I had no interest in the first one when it initially came out,
okay. And
I still really have no interest in it. And I apologize. I'm not trying to upset you. I know you love it.
Well, I wouldn't say love it.
Okay. I know you're excited, but I'll tell you what, though. I wish that he would have gone back and worked on good sequels to his best film. We all know what that is. Titanic.
Oh. Yeah. Titanic 2.
Exactly.
Electric Boogaloo.
You know, there actually is a Titanic 2 movie.
What, like the...
What happens?
It's a TV movie. It's not a sequel to Titanic. It's a movie about a ship called the Titanic 2. That sails 100 years after the first one. It's okay. Really bad.
And it's looking for revenge for the iceberg.
In this one, there's a hurricane that literally picks up an iceberg and hurls it like a baseball at the ship.
Wow. Mother Nature just hates ships called Titanic, apparently.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like a Raise the Titanic? Wasn't there? I remember there was a novel. Like it was
Yes.
And then there would be a TV movie or a movie of that.
Yeah. Was that the 70s or the 80s? I don't remember. Yeah. I'm sorry to get us so far off topic.
No, I've just been, like Pete was talking about a couple weeks ago too. I just listened again to the Blockbuster podcast, which tells the story of James Cameron too. So it's interesting to like hear that as they sort of end their story of like going from, you know, a young boy growing up in Canada to, you know, winning the Oscar for Titanic. And it was like, yeah, but then from that to where we are now, there's an interesting thing there too of like going from creating Titanic and then no, that's the end of the story. Well, but his next movie is kind of important and we'll see what happens after this. But yeah, so that'll be coming out at Christmas time. I don't know. I have the, you can see it on December 16th. I've already conscripted Rob to go sit in the theater with me for like 4 hours. So you'll have our review shortly into the new year because, you know, by the time Christmas rolls around, we might still be in the theater watching it. So, all right, let's move on. So I have created a little game. So I realized I was looking through that. It might not have been never, but I think it's been a long time. Chrissy, have you ever done one of the elimination brackets?
The first one I ever did was choosing between two 80s movies that Rob paired up.
Okay. I couldn't remember if you and I had done this before because I know I've done it for Ray's weather. So we're doing it this time. This time, because this seems to be the season of sequels. There has been a lot of sequels to Lovebuddies and requels and that kind of stuff. So I went through and picked out a bunch of really famous movies that have never had a sequel. Now, they have had adaptations and video games and all these other things, but they've never had a true and proper sequel. So I have 8 different movies. We're doing a single elimination thing. And you guys are going to decide which of these films should have a right and proper sequel, not a reboot, not a refranchising, not a musical like we talked about in the last Sandman, but an actual full-on here's what happens next sequel. So I have grouped them all together. And so, what made the list of my 8? There is no rhyme or reason. My choices were capricious and arbitrary. I just find a couple things that I was like, oh yeah, that'd be a good sequel. And then I put them together. We'll see what happens. All right. So, since we're just shaking off, the ghosts of Halloween, we're gonna start with a little bit of horror stuff. So our first matchup will be Shaun of the Dead or Jennifer's Body. So Shaun of the Dead from Edgar Wright sort of wrapped it up a little bit too, but you know, it's still a world full of zombies. Jennifer's Body, maybe not the best put together in film, but maybe if they took another crack at it, they could do it. Actually, I think the ending of Jennifer's Body actually sets up a much more interesting film, but I think so. This is obviously you guys working together, and then I will settle any ties that come along there too. So we'll start with Chrissy. Which of those two, which do you think would you rather see a sequel? So that's the category is, what would you like to see a sequel of?
I like them both, and I think they're both like that witty, funny horror that's so exciting. I would pick Shaun of the Dead, though, just because I think I liked that world. I would like to visit that world again.
Okay. What do you think, Ray? Have you seen either of them?
I've seen both.
Okay, good.
And see, I love Shaun of the Dead so much that it's almost on a holy level.
Oh, believe me, I've got some holy ones on here too. So that's the thing. You're going to have to get your fingers dirty here. There's a couple things you're like, no one should make a sequel to that. Well, you have to pick one or the other.
Well, and for that reason, I can't pick Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
Because for me, it is perfect as is. Not that I would necessarily be opposed to a sequel, but I'd lean on the side of not. So I'm going to go Jennifer's Body, which I enjoyed. And I think a sequel would be fun.
Okay. All right. All right. We're starting already with the two of you with locked horns.
Yeah. Sorry.
I think I'm going to choose Jennifer's Body as well, just because I think that there's more open ground that you can only go up. You know, like I feel like there's a better chance. Like Shaun of the Dead has a tendency, if they don't get Edgar Wright back and he's not excited about it, that it could definitely dip in quality. So I think there's a higher potential for Jennifer's Body 2 or Jennifer's Bodies.
That would be the title. Jennifer's Bodies is. Love it.
Jennifer's. Agree with you guys. And there's two Jennifers and there's multiple. I don't know.
Two Jennifers and they each have three bodies.
All right. So our Jennifer's Body moves on to the next one. Okay. So here we go.
Talaxian marriage.
Sacred cows. Here we go. Things that should never be. So we're going to take two of those platinum movies that should not be touched, and we're going to make you pick one of them. So for comedy classics, beloved by all, would you rather see a sequel to The Princess Bride or Galaxy Quest? And you have to pick
Galaxy
one of them.
Quest.
Oh, okay. You think it's easy. Galaxy All right, Quest. What's your reasoning?
Galaxy Quest, yeah.
It could be that they did other, like, we see other seasons of the show, or, like, maybe the show got rebooted, and so the old crew has to come back to, like, help the new crew launch or something.
Okay. What were you saying, Ray?
I could see a lot of paths.
What were you saying, Ray?
That makes a lot of sense. I think The Princess Bride doesn't lend itself very well to a sequel. I mean, it definitely could, but I think it would end up being made more as too much of an homage to the original, where they have to rehash all the original lines and jokes and everything. Okay. That's what I feel would inevitably happen. There's a lot more room to work with the other movie.
Okay. Even with Alan Rickman being gone, you don't have a problem?
I think that, you know, it's just like with any other movie or film series, you have to deal with that kind of a loss sometimes. Look at Black Panther.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we will see.
I guess we'll see. We'll see how they dealt with it.
But... yeah.
Okay.
But I even without Alan Rickman, I think it would still lend itself better to a sequel.
All right. So our next category, this is inhuman characters, I guess, or movies that people, there are no actors in, but they're still performed. I don't know exactly how to classify it, but would you rather see a sequel to The Nightmare Before Christmas or The Adventures of Tintin? Ray, we'll start with you.
Well, I have seen neither.
Oh, you've never seen Nightmare Before Christmas. Interesting.
Imagine that. But I would choose a Nightmare Before Christmas just because of its popularity, and I think it'd be more likely and be more marketable. Hmm. Not that their Tintin isn't marketable.
Huh? Yeah, well, yeah. Say from an American-centric perspective, I think the rest of the world would be like, actually. Chrissy, what do you think?
Actually, I totally agree. Nightmare Before Christmas, because there are so many other holidays that I would love to see the Halloween crew like get mixed up in. This is going to be like a weird side tangent, but there's actually like a line of like clothing and accessories that is all the characters from the Nightmare Before Christmas, like at the beach. it's not based on like a show or anything, but it's like all the characters, and it's like a crock pot, and it's all the characters like lying on the beach and stuff. So I would say maybe that's the direction you go in.
Okay. All right. Before Christmas Advances. I think there was a video game. I think it was Nightmare Before Christmas, Oogie's Revenge. I think it was like the PS3 era. And I think he did go to a couple of the other worlds. I mean, not like what I said, my thing is specifically movie sequel. So it still fits thing. But it was interesting that like other people had that same idea. Like it was like your weapon, I think, was like a piece of green slime that could transform into different things. It was an odd game.
Can I add one more point?
Sure, absolutely.
Having not seen either movie, I just want to say, I'm also picking Nightmare because Danny Elfman.
Ah, yes. The Danny Elfman of it all. Boy, that guy's having a renaissance. Like, he's had a full-on makeover, too. Like, and apparently, a good business to be in is a tattooist for Danny Elfman, because that dude's got ink.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, then our last matchup of round one are some 80s classics that you'd think would be, you know, franchise bait, but had never got there. So, first of all, we have the Masters of the Goondocks, the Goonies, versus, don't say his name three times, Beetlejuice. Which of those would you see in, like, a right and proper sequel to?
That's a tough one. Either way, you'd have to do some recasting, right?
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
Probably.
I'll vote Beetlejuice.
Oh, okay. What do you think?
Yeah.
Would you like to see the Goonies next generation, like the children of the original Goonies, or is it them in their 40s trying to find One-Eyed Willie's son's treasure? I don't know.
It's like Chunk Jr. is responsible for the stock collapse of Ben and Jerry's.
It would be interesting to have the like their kids all turn out to be like all the people that they hated. They're all like up, you know, uppity cryptocurrency tech bro nonsense.
I gotta give the edge to Beetlejuice, though.
Okay. You wanna see Michael Keaton back in the fright wig?
I think, speaking of people who are experiencing a renaissance, seemingly, you know, or at least, you know, Batgirl got turned down. And next thing we know, Flash is never going to see the light of day, and neither will a new Batman performance by Michael Keaton, said the conspiracy theorist in me.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a new man at the helm, so, you know, maybe you can give him a call and see if he could bring some of these things back from the dead. All right, so all right, move on to round two then. Okay, this should go a lot quicker then, too, because I think I'm seeing it, how things are going to go. But I think the final matchup is going to be really interesting. So, ooh. Jennifer's Body or Galaxy Quest 2?
I'm going to say Jennifer's Body.
Okay.
And I love Galaxy Quest, but I think that it would be a better sequel for Jennifer's Body. It'd be you'd be able to do more with it.
Okay. Chrissy, you're nodding your head.
No, but I don't. I'm nodding my head in agreement, but disagreement, because I would vote Galaxy Quest. Because now that I've thought about it, I never thought about it, but now that I thought about it, I'm excited about it. And I would love for them to play with some of the ideas of like reboots of the show Galaxy Quest, mm-hmm. In the sequel to the movie Galaxy Quest. So you have to decide this one, Kyle.
All right. One vote for Jennifer's Body, one vote for Galaxy Quest. Yeah, I think I'm going to, I did not think it would get this far, but I think I'm actually going to put Jennifer's Body into the finals because, it's another one of those things of like Galaxy Quest has a huge legion of fans and a fantastic documentary about it too. And I think they're trying to work on something too, but like Jennifer's Body, I don't think gets talked about enough. So maybe they announce a sequel. Do it. So, wow.
I feel like a creep, Chrissy.
It's going to sweep the whole thing. Jennifer's Body for the win.
Who the thunk it? All right, then our next lineup then is I guess I'm going to call this category whoever wins, Danny Elfman gets paid, Night Before Christmas or Beetlejuice.
I say Nightmare because I think we learned a lot about Beetlejuice and I think there's just so many characters in Halloween Town that we could learn more about.
Okay. All right. Expand the roster. Got it. What do you think, Ray?
Initially, I'm inclined to say Beetlejuice, but I think part of that is because there have been so many rumblings about a sequel being made, even recently.
When is he going to go Hawaiian? We're all waiting.
Yeah. I love that Kevin Smith story, man. Anyway, I got to go with Nightmare, though.
Okay.
Because I think... ultimately, that, like Chrissy said, there's a lot to explore there. And Beetlejuice ultimately comes off to me as this is a cash grab sequel.
Okay. All right. All right. Then the lineup that no one could have predicted. You can't say that SatMat is scripted, people, because no one would have put together who gets a part two. Is it Jennifer's Body or Nightmare Before Christmas? Make your final arguments.
Well, I know you guys are going to vote for Jennifer's Body. But I want to say, like, think about if this one was centered on the character of the mayor. Mm. The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's the mayor. Why does his head spin around? Mm. What's his backstory? you know, we've gone through all the oogie boogie stuff. Maybe this one's a deep character drama about why the mayor has two faces.
Okay. All right. So you're voting for Night Before Christmas?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Ray. Okay, for all the marbles, Hollywood is listening.
Darn it, the slasher lover in me has to go Jennifer's Body.
Saw this coming, Kyle.
Nightmare Before Christmas probably makes more sense, but I'm making you go.
Well, I
break this tie.
This is interesting. I sort of put that in as like a wild card because the rest of these are pretty well like successful. I think that has the lowest box office of any of these on there, and it has now taken the title, ladies and gentlemen. The world, like Next Reel, in unison has declared that Jennifer's Body deserves a sequel. Give us Jennifer's Bodies.
By the way, folks, unison means 2/3 majority.
Yeah.
I would not have predicted that. Okay. That's
that is kind of crazy,
the world's
man.
A topsy-turvy crazy place.
Yeah, apparently Henry Selick is on the promotional tour talking about Wendell and Wilde, which is on Netflix right now. And has said that Disney has come to him multiple times and said, do a sequel. And he's like, great. I'm ready to do it. They're like, yes, just make sure it looks like it's CGI. It's got to be Pixar quality. And he's like, no, that's not what I do. I do stop motion. Like, we don't want that. We want it all CG. So the no, like he and Tim Burton are unified and like, we don't want that at all.
Yeah.
So apparently that's what the impasse is. So.
Who owns the rights to Nightmare Before Christmas?
Disney.
Disney.
Yeah. So yeah, call up Bob and tell him we want our stop motion animation. So, all right, there we go. All right, so then if we move on, let's talk about the future. So Chrissy, what's coming up on the Most Excellent 80s Movies Podcast?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Kyle. We are going to do a little double feature of Eddie Murphy comedies that were both the number two highest grossing movie in the year they came out. So we're pairing up Beverly Hills Cop and Coming to America as our next two selections.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I was just thinking about rewatching Coming to America.
Yeah, I really liked That's Coming funny. To America, and I really did not like Coming to America, so...
Oh, I didn't see that one, so I may have to watch it just so I can comment on it.
Yeah, well, maybe. Or maybe it's better if you watch it first and then watch Coming to America, enjoy it, and then go after and go,
somewhere that won a bracket to get a sequel.
But that being said, I'm always happy to see more Arsenio Hall, so that made me happy on that too. And the Swashbuckling Ladies Debate Society is back, baby! Season 4 has begun, so the prelude is on there right now, and joining the cast for all but one episode is Chrissy Lenz! What?
Hey,
oh my gosh, that's you, and you're on the, and we did the, I wish that we could say we planned this, but we didn't. It's just beautiful synergy. So you have season 4 will be is up and rolling. By the time you hear this, probably I think episode 1 will be out as well. So there'll be 7 total, so prelude and 6 regular episodes, and so we'll take us right towards the end of the year. And then at the end of the year, we'll have a little announcement about things that are coming in the swashbuckling world. It should be very exciting.
Yes, I love announcements.
So check that out. So, all right, as we're moving on here, let's get to the weekly list challenge. So, our esteemed predecessors gave us movies that give you anxiety, but aren't necessarily scary. So, but before the show started, Ray and I were talking a little bit about this too. So, because both he and I have chosen at least one movie that could be classified as horror, but we're not really doing it about the horror element. So it's like, I'm not scared of dream demons, but I have Nightmare on Elm Street on because I'm afraid of being sucked into my bed or whatever, like that kind of thing. And that's okay. So like that's sort of where we sort of did our arbitrary line. So are you does that work for you too?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. So because you got the first trailer in, so that means you're the first one up. So tell us about a movie that gives you anxiety.
Okay. So I have, I don't know if you guys enjoy magic eye pictures that were like popular in the 90s, where you can like unfocus your eyes and a picture within the picture emerges. I can't see them, and I've never been able to see them, and it's like a source of sadness for me. So a whole movie series that gives me anxiety is the Transformers movies, because I can't see what the Transformers are. Like they're like bits and bops of floating metal and stuff.
Okay.
Do not come together for me in the picture of a face for those creatures. So to me, they just look like magic eye blurs. And so I'm watching any bit of the Transformers, like, just makes my heart start to palpitate because I can't understand what I'm looking at.
Okay. All right. Like I said, I've never heard that take on it before, but I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel any better, watching Transformers makes my heart palpitate because they're terrible movies.
Oh, yeah. There's that too.
I'm joking.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So, Ray, you're up next. So, tell us what freaks your freak.
Well, I'll get the one out of the way that you mentioned up at the top. And that would be the movie Halloween 2 from 1981.
Okay.
I love these movies, man. I mean, in this movie, you see some gross things, okay? You see a kid who bit into a candy bar with a razor blade and his mouth is all gushing blood and stuff. You see somebody get stabbed with a scalpel. You see a nurse get put in a scalding hot therapy pool and her face melted off. But the thing that I cannot watch in this movie that just sends me just away, it just wishing I'd never been born, is watching someone get a tetanus shot.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There is a part in the movie where Jamie Lee Curtis goes to the hospital and they give a double, I'm assuming, a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot watch the needle go in the arm and the plunger go in. And, you know, I cannot, I don't know why. I can't watch needles. You know, fake stuff I'll watch all the live long day. There's even a fake needle thing later in the movie that I love. It's a great kill. But the tetanus shot freaks me out.
Okay.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, I have to, and you know, because here in this in endemic world, I've had to see so many shots, I have to, like, look away. Like, I'm like, I'll let you do your business, but I'm not going to watch that going into my arm. All right. So, all right. For my first one, I'm going to pick a very, very popular film. But this is a big that freaks me out, but it's not really connected to the things you normally associate with this. So, and I was growing up. There was an old vaudeville theater in our town that had been shut down for a long time, and then a company bought it, and they converted it into an actual movie theater. So it was like a big-time wide theater. So what they did is they basically cut the main seating area in half, and so like one half became one theater, the other half became the other theater, and then they took the balcony and basically just put a thing right across the top of it, and that became the third theater. So it was the Ready 3, it was called. So you were actually sitting in an old balcony, really, really steep balcony, but then like when you're already looking down, then it was like the movie theater, the screen was right there in front of you. It was one of my favorite theaters. I got to see a ton of stuff there. Eventually it became the Ready 4 because they realized they could use the backstage. So that was really cool theater too. I saw like Army of Darkness in there. And if you look up, all the rigging and lights were still there above your head as you're watching this thing. Really cool theater. But the movie I saw there that just because of the situation and location freaked me out so much was Die Hard. Now, it wasn't any of the things you think of explosions or running or shooting and stuff. It was one of the most terrifying sequences to me is when he has jumped off the roof and crashed in the window and crashed down. The roof has exploded. Oh, he thinks he's fine. And then, whoosh, you see something drop by the window. Hey, what was that? Oh, it's the big metal thing that you're still attached to. And he is slowly being drawn out the window, slowly sliding in. Seeing that with nothing between me and it, 40 feet wide or whatever it was absolutely terrifying. Cause it was like watching that edge slowly approaching as he's like desperately trying to undo himself and the glass is sliding and the wind is blowing. Fantastic sequence, but like seeing it there, like activated all of my height anxiety, like, and still like when I watch that sequence, I still have that like flashback of like that moment. So yeah, like that, I'm not big on heights. And that is one of the most terrifying things of depicting of that I have ever seen. So Die Hard.
That's, I get it.
Yeah. All right. Back to the top of the order, Chrissy.
Okay. So this is a movie that I really, really like, but there's a part of it that just like I can hear it in my head and it freaks me out. It's Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Okay.
Where they end up in hell and they each go into their like personal hell. And then there's a chase scene where they're being chased by a bunny and a grandma and a military guy, and they're in this hallway where they have to crouch, and so they're crouching and running from these three like not that scary but sinister pursuers. And I just like, I can in my brain, if I feel like sort of trapped, I can hear, "You stole Deacon's Easter basket," and the little like hop 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 sound, and I'm just like, no.
Wow. Okay. What is it? Is it just like the nightmare of combining all those things, or
yeah,
we don't need to get into a huge trauma like discussion. I'm just curious what it is.
You're running and you can't get away. Okay. You have to crouch so you can't run.
Uh-huh.
And then it's these normal everyday things that scared you when you were a kid that seem benign.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay.
I don't like it.
All right. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. All right. I thought you were going to say Station. which I find terrifying.
Distinction. When he's two things or when he smooshes together and becomes both. One thing, both. It's both pretty scary. Yeah.
What you got, Ray?
Okay, my second one is a movie I saw at an impressionable age. I was 13, and I actually saw it in high school.
Okay.
And it is a made-for-TV movie, Anne Frank, The Whole Story.
Oh.
From 2001. It was the one that Ben Kingsley played her father, and Lily Taylor had a role.
Okay.
I don't remember any of the other people that were in it by name. But anyway, just that particular iteration of the story always stuck with me. And it was probably because I saw it at 13 years old, you know, the same age basically that she was. And having just read the book, watching this movie, the depictions in the movie just really grabbed me, particularly when they're in this confined space in this attic, and every tiny little noise you hear could mean death is at the door. And it just sent chills down my spine. And then the movie does something that goes beyond the book, as it shows Anne in her captive years in the concentration camps. And it just doesn't show it for long. It shows it for maybe 5 minutes, you know, her and her mother and her sister. But it just really stuck with me that somebody my age went through that and everything. And the movie itself, I thought, was a good portrayal of the whole ordeal. So,
wow.
Yep. That's my
second. I didn't even know that movie existed. That's interesting. My third one, I'm breaking one of my own rules. Like, I usually only like to put on movies that I've actually seen, but the actual concept of this movie I find so terrifying that I have never watched it and I never will. And it's not the sharks. It's the abandonment. This is open water. Cool. So, I'm okay with the sink. I'm okay with the bath. I'm okay with a pool, but once you get into big water where you can't see any land stuff, that's when I start to get super nervous. So the idea of being out on a boat or whatever, and you come up from your scuba diving and the boat has left you behind. Oh boy, I'm starting to sweat now just describing it. And I've only ever seen the trailer, never seen the movie. But yeah, that is huge, huge anxiety thing for me. Yeah. The big water. Forget the sharks. Just like the big not knowing what's going on and never not having any hope and floating in the water. Ooh, yeah, no thank you.
It sent chills down scary. My spine.
Yeah. All right, Chrissy, what's your third and final?
Okay, so like you guys, I'm picking a movie that could be classified as a horror movie, but not for the reasons probably that most people find it horrific. Mm-hmm. I picked Misery. Because there's a lot of reasons, but the part where he's explaining to her that the paper that she bought smudges, and so she has to go get him new paper, a huge source of anxiety for me. Like, if someone does something where they feel like they've gone over the top to be nice to you, and then you have to explain that even though it would seem as though you've done the best you could do, the thing you didn't know was that there's actually this small problem. Having to explain that to anyone is uncomfortable at best. Okay. And when that person is holding you captive and breaking your ankles with sledgehammers, boy, it really adds to the tension. Slightly after that, she has to fill in all the, I think the letter N and the letter E are broken on his typewriter. So she has to go through and like fill them in. And for some reason, just the thought of someone with a pencil filling in every E and every N is like, makes me a little bit crazy. Misery is no my play. Third choice. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Ray, what's your third anxiety?
This one seems a bit obvious to me, so I'm surprised it wasn't a steal, but it is The Aronofsky classic, Requiem for a Dream.
Okay.
And just that movie is the perfect example for me of something that you love to watch, but you cannot watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because every time I watch that movie, there's so much about each character's plight that just makes me want to hurl myself out of a building and or something, you know? and then, you know, back to my needle thing, there's that whole needle thing with Jared Leto, which I won't go into detail about here, but let's just say it's memorable.
Memorable in the sense that it will be scarred in there and you'll never be able to get it out. Yep.
Yeah.
Good pick.
Just each one of those characters, what each one of them goes through. There's not a single one of them that I think to myself, it's not so bad. Yes. No, they're all bad.
Okay. Requiem for a Dream. All right. So my last one is my horror movie, except that it's not the horror elements that got me. So my movie is about a group of adventurers who go on what should be a fun time and end up having to fight monsters. But it's not the monsters that scare me. It all happens in the dark. It's not the dark that scares me because this is The Descent. And in this movie, there's one of the most terrifying scenes I have ever seen. I was working at the movie theater watching this alone, like at, 6 a.m. on the morning it came out. You know, theater to myself. Going along, I love Neil Marshall, so I'm already on board. And I'm the characters are so good, I'm going along. And then there's this scene where one of the it's about spelunking. So basically, it's a group of women who get together and go on adventures together. They decide to go spelunking, so they're underground and they have to go into this narrow passage. So as this one of the women is climbing through a narrow passage, Christy's already shaking her head. She already is starting to have traumatic flashbacks. As she's climbing through this narrow passage, there is a small earthquake that happens, and she is then pinned, and the water is rising. It's like, it's like all my anxieties at the same time, like trapped. You can't move your arms. Water rising in the dark. You can't get out. Like, I was climbing the back of my seat in the theater. Like, it's like they've taken all my my top 10 anxieties and put them in one scene. And once again,
that is the worst.
Learning later on that all that stuff was done like in a soundstage, like could not have been more calm and safe environment and stuff too. It just made it that much sweeter. So yeah. So it's like, it's not the monsters. It's not all the horror movies of that. It's literally that just like a person pinned, not being able to move. That absolutely is the top of my anxiety list. Whoa. Yeah.
The Descent. Right there with you, dude.
Oh, man.
Good pick.
Yeah. So, all right. So that was there was our list. So anyway, so we have to pick for next week. I'm going to be on the show. So I will sort of remove myself from conversation. The only thing that I will sort of leave as you two figure it out is when Ray was talking, an idea came to me movies that like you saw that you absolutely will never watch again, either because it's like so powerful or so terrible, like however you want to interpret it. That's the only thing I was thinking that would be an interesting category to discuss. But I'll let you two sort of figure it out.
Okay. I like that. It's sort of like it's burned in your brain, whether it's like because it's so traumatic or because you just don't need to see it more than once. I think that's a good category because there's some really, really good movies for me that would fall into that category of like, blank is a beautiful Oscar winning epic classic. But I saw it once. No need to ever see it again. I like that. As a choice. What do you think, Ray?
It was Pink Flamingos, wasn't it?
Just never again.
Never again.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. And then I'll let the people interpret that sort of however they want to.
I could already think of three, like, boom, just right off the top of my head. But I bet they'd be steals. I bet my top two would be in someone else's top three.
That's very possible. I think that would be interesting to see too, because maybe there might actually end up being more steals than you would think in that one. So, all right. So as we sort of bring our Saturday matinee to a close, I have a question for you guys, sort of as a thing. Last time I was on, I asked about some podcast recommendations. So now I'm going to go to a different area. So I was interested anything that you've seen outside of television and movies that have been really interesting to you or that you would like recommend. Hey, more people should pay attention to this. So I have one off the top of my head. So I will talk about that as you sort of see if there's something that comes to your mind, because I know I'm throwing you a curveball. One of my favorite things on YouTube are film essays that people will actually go through, and they'll actually, as opposed to just like, I saw this movie, it sucked. Like, they actually will take something, a category or an idea, and actually develop it. And I really think there's a lot of artistry that these people will put into it, of telling the sort of proving their point, making their thing. Even if you don't agree with it, like, I really like sort of the presentation of a lot of these things, that they can sort of deep dive into something really obscure. For me, the gold standard of this was Every Frame of Painting, which he was so good at it that he ended up getting a job as a professional editor, and now is making tons of money and doesn't have time to make stupid little YouTube videos anymore. So I actually found one, this group, or this guy, I think, I don't know if it's a team or not, but it's called the Royal Ocean Film Society. He actually did a really interesting sort of 20-minute deep dive on one of my favorite categories nobody talks about, which is fan edits. He actually went in and sort of discovered this while he was researching something else and dug into the world of, you know, fans going in and taking a movie and cutting it up for themselves and then re-releasing it for other fans of like, hey, what do you think of this? It could be, they want to restore it to what it originally was, like the despecialized editions of Star Wars, or it could be actually one they talked about extensively in that is Raising Kane. Apparently Raising Kane was originally a non-linear movie that was sort of like in a Memento kind of style. And then by the time it came out, Brian De Palma, decided, no, I'm going to tear it straight narratively. And now a fan editor found the original script and recut the movie, and so much so got the actual director's seal of approval. Actually went, oh my God, the way you did it is exactly how I wanted to do it. Like, he actually got it was like a recognition that I hadn't been seen before. But anyway, so I highly recommend checking all the videos I've seen from this either this guy or this group have been great. So the Royal Ocean Film Society. So anything you've seen in the wider, wide, weird world that you would like to direct people to?
I've got one. Sure. There's a podcast, it's a whole series that I think is really worth listening to. And I sort of like try to tell everybody about this. It's a true crime thing, but it is it's so epic and big that it's just unbelievable. And it's called the Murdaugh Murders podcast. Okay. It's called Murdaugh, Murdaugh Murders podcast. By Manny Matney, and it's an ongoing case. Like, the case is being litigated now, but there are so many twists and turns to this story that you just the briefest of all recaps is boat accident, accidental drowning, boating under the influence, but then double murder, botched attempted suicide by hire, drug smuggling, Squid Island barriers of South Carolina, possible other murders being brought in of a housekeeper and a boy that this family went to high school with. And also, I forgot to mention all of the financial crimes, which were perpetrated by this person and their family going back a century. It's just like bananas. And the woman who reports on it has been reporting on this single family and their crimes for over 3 years.
Wow.
Gee, okay. Willikers.
Called the Murdaugh Murders podcast.
The Murdaugh Murders podcast. Okay. All right. Ray, what do you think has crossed your path that you'd like to draw some attention to?
Well, this might sound a little bit weird, but it's a smartphone app.
Oh, okay.
I usually just stick with my usual apps. I never download new apps, but I just got this new app. It's called Refind.
Okay.
But it's R-E-F-I-N-D. And what you do is you tell it what some of your interests are, and what it does is every day it gives you 5 articles from around the web that would interest you, whether it's might be stuff in the news or, you know, somebody's blog post, not like Joe Schmo's blog post, but, you know, someone that's got a lot of readers or something. But anyway, and it learns as you go, you know, you tell the app, you know, I liked this article, didn't like this one as much, you know, whatever. And it gives you some interesting stuff to think about during the day.
That is really cool. I like an app that actually does a job. As opposed to just trying to take your time. Like, it's like, no, no, like, I'm here to work for you. Here's some things I found that I think you'd like. That's great.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Refine. Very interesting. All right. All right. Well, there you go. There's if you're, you know, beyond the television shows and movies we talked about, there's some other stuff you can do to try and make your life just a little bit better. So thank you all for listening here. Our Saturday matinee has concluded. Thank you for joining me on this one. So thank you, Chrissy.
Thank you, Kyle. I had a great time.
I'm glad. Always good to see you, Ray.
Hey, likewise.
Now go do something nice for yourself.
I love the conversations that so many of our hosts have had on their shows. Steve and JJ on Trailer Rewind, Ray and Ocean on Silver Linings, even Tommy's short-lived No, No, Wait, Hear Me Out.
And so many films they've discussed started out as a book, a play, or even a TV series.
Well, now you can support our whole family of podcasts by using our new Originals page to buy the original source material used to inspire films covered on our shows.
Just visit thenextreel.com/originals. Your purchases made through our links give us a small commission at no extra cost to you and allow us to keep having these fantastic conversations.
It's a wonderful way to support the show. Producing these podcasts week after week require a ton of work behind the scenes. If you'd like to help support our efforts, try using our Originals page when shopping for books and movies that we've covered.
It's your one-stop shop for Amazon and Apple links where you can buy the book, play, video game, movie, etc., upon which the movie is based.
Original material for Trailer Rewind movies like If Beale Street Could Talk,
The Goldfinch,
Aniara,
or The Two Faces of January.
Or Silver Linings movies like Repo Men, which was based on the Repossession Mambo.
Plus, by using those links to buy books, Amazon and Apple show us a little bit of love, which allows you to support our family of shows with minimal effort.
Visit thenextreel.com/originals. It's a fantastic way to support the show and find a great book to read.
That's right. Head over to thenextreel.com/originals to find your next read and get started today.